Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zavin in for Mully today. And we're pleased to welcome in our radio.com MLB insider, John Heyman. And John joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. It's playoff baseball. Both league championship series have been taut, tight baseball, and it's been really, the pitching has stood out. And John, let's begin with the Nationals, because they go today, and it's a great matchup with Strasburg and Flaherty, and I think that is one of those games you could see the Nats for the third straight game going into the seventh inning with a no-hitter. I mean, this is how good their pitching has been. What's been the most surprising element of the NLCS and the ability of the Nationals to go up 2-0?
The most surprising element of the postseason is the fact that the pitching is dominating. We saw the ball flying in the regular season. Obviously, the pitchers are a little bit better, but so are the hitters in the postseason. So it's odd to see that. You know what? Anibal Sanchez has really come on and pitched two gems. And he has been a great pitcher throughout his career. But he was the fourth pitcher for the Nats. I don't think we expect him to dominate like this. I will say this about St. Louis. Not a great breaking ball hitting team. They are a fastball hitting team. It's pretty stout. And so Anibal Sanchez is just a bad matchup for them, and that makes Washington tough for them, because obviously the three pitchers are fantastic with Washington, and they get past St. Louis. Boy, this will be a big sigh of relief, not just a celebration in Washington. St. Louis has been their bugaboo team. St. Louis came back and beat them. I was there in 2012, it was 6-0 at one point in the game five, deciding game five of the division series, and the Nats bullpen blew it. But in this case, the bullpen is not great, again, with the Nats, but they have two they really count on, and they have four great starters. That's another surprise of this postseason. We're back to the starters being the main thing rather than the relievers. We've gone to that bullpenning thing, and now seems like we're swinging back, and the starters are the stars once again.
The starters have been dominating. To me, the most shocking thing is that they have been able to win without playing, say, the kind of baseball that you're watching in the American League, because it's not like the Nats hit the ball out of the yard nonstop like the Astros and the Yankees. And it's not as though you look at the Nationals and you worry about who they're going to use out of the pen, but yet they find a way to be effective. That, to me, is the most amazing story about the National League playoffs.
Well, the Nats do have great starters, and that's why some people saw them as a big threat. And they also have a great 3-4 combination among the best in baseball with Rendon and Soto. The table setters aren't bad. They just haven't really gotten going yet. Turner, Eaton has gotten some big hits in the LCS, but they have great 3-4 hitter. They have great starting pitchers. They're a team that's really top-heavy. They're not a deep team like the Dodgers or the Yankees, but they do have big stars, and they certainly are a threat. I think people would look at it, the Yankees and the Astros are really the powerhouse matchup, and the Nats and the Cardinals, probably a little bit more flawed teams. You could see that in the win totals of the regular season, but certainly they are dangerous teams. I do think the AL team will be a heavy favorite when we get to the World Series.
Joined by Radio.com MLB insider John Heyman, joining Mully and Haw with Zach Zavin in for Mully today. John, what did you make of the Daniel Hudson situation, the Nationals closer who missed game one to be at the birth of his third daughter?
Well, I do think the family takes precedent, and I certainly understand his decision. I give the Nats credit for supporting it. Uh, you know, a game. He got back quickly. He had 1-3 games, and he missed one game. I saw there was some criticism of him by your friend David Sampson, but basically everybody else. I thought I'd give you a little jab.
Yeah, but why did that gain so much traction, though? Because isn't it silly talk? I mean, what Sampson said, is it not silly talk?
You know what? I think it's ridiculous, but I know he's not alone. He's just the only one that really had the guts to do it, because I know other people who felt that way, too. They just don't put it on Twitter like he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it's absurd, but, you know, there is that kind of macho element in sports, and, you know, he did run a team. I wouldn't say he ran it well, but he ran a team. And that's the way he felt, and I don't think he's far from alone in that thinking. He's just the only one who would put it on Twitter. That's the difference there.
Man, let's get to the American League. What stands out to you about this series between the Yankees and Astros?
The fact that they're both really great teams. I mean, you normally don't see two teams with more than 100 wins facing off against each other. I think it's close to the most total wins in an LCS ever, not the most, but close to the most. And, you know, they just both very strong teams. And I think people underestimated the Yankees a little bit going into this because they're now at full strength, or they were when they started. Now we have Stanton out, but they were full strength when they started. And they have the deepest staff, not the deepest rotation, but the deepest staff. And Tanaka's a great postseason pitcher. They have a lot of things going for them. I thought potentially it might be like the 2009 World Series, where Houston would win the two Cole games and the Yankees would win the other games. Now, Houston was one with Verlander, who's also fantastic. I think he's not pitching his best right now. It's not a shock. He's in his mid to late 30s. I think he's 36 or 37. And he might be finally showing he's a little bit tired after having an incredible season with 300 strikeouts. And it's going to be basically a coin flip between Cole and Verlander for Cy Young. I kind of think Cole, if I had to pick one of the two, they're both fantastic. But the end of the year, in the what we saw in the playoffs, Cole looks unhittable. Verlander does not look unhittable. And the Yankees obviously have a very great and deep lineup. I thought they might be able to beat him and really put the pressure on Houston here. But these are two fantastic teams. And I can't remember an LCS where we saw two teams this good.
John, a lot of news on the manager front. I think when you look at Philadelphia interviewing Dusty Baker and Buck Showalter, you start to wonder if this trend toward, you know, first-time managers or young guys without experience is changing, or if this is just an owner kind of inserting himself into the equation more than other franchises. Will, what do you think about that, and how does it, if at all, affect the Cubs' thinking with choosing between Joe Girardi and David Ross?
Yeah, I mean, every situation is different. This is definitely an owner putting his foot down and saying what he wants after 2 years of basically 500 baseball didn't work. The analytics, I know people have seen the Houston. They're working there, obviously. Tampa, fantastic. But in Philly, didn't work right away. They're only 500 after acquiring five All-Stars. You know, I think the real issue was with Kapler was that he did not get the best out of the players that he had. You know, that is the most important thing for a manager, I think, is to show the players a path where they can reach their potential or even play beyond what they thought they could do. And really, only Realmuto and Harper played to their potential out of the entire roster. And that really was the issue more than analytics versus non-analytics. But I think what we're going to see is what we've seen a lot, which is when you have this experienced manager and you fire him and you go to another manager, you go the other way. You go for the inexperienced, which is, we think, what the Cubs will likely do. And the Phillies, the opposite. They had an inexperienced manager, and now they're going to go for an experienced manager, and they're going to interview Girardi, Showalter, and Baker. I think there are four that at least that are set now. I'm not sure if the fourth is Socha or who it is, but they're clearly going experience, and that seems to be the way teams look. Now, the Mets, they had inexperienced Mickey Callaway. They fired him. We thought they were going to go experience, but so far, and they've been very secretive about this, Girardi is the only one with major league manager experience that is getting an interview there. The other four do not, so we will see what they end up doing. I think Girardi's probably the favorite with the Mets. But, you know, I think their teams are, you know, they look at a guy's whole track record, and he, obviously he's won a lot of games. He's been an excellent manager. He's very smart. We see him on TV. He's very good at that, too, on the radio here as well. But, you know, when you manage 11 years, you're going to find some detractors. And the issue is how relatable he is to the young players. So I don't think that one's a slam dunk. The ones that are the easiest, I think, are Madden with the Angels, Matheny with the Royals. You know, I think Ross not as big a slam dunk as those other two, but the favorite in Chicago, the other ones a little bit less predictable.
Interesting to hear you say that Ross isn't as much of a slam dunk. Who else is realistically in the mix, and what would be the determining factor with the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very good chance, and he's the favorite. And like I said, I think they go for that less experienced manager. I think the problem they had with Madden was they didn't listen as much as they would have liked. I mean, he'd probably look, say, the opposite, that they were always telling him what to do, and he's an experienced manager, and he should be able to make the decisions. But I do think Ross is the favorite. I just, you know, the other ones, I think Matheny is almost a fait accompli in Kansas City, and I think pretty close to the same with Madden and the Angels. So I still think he's got a very good chance that Ross will be the guy. I think Theo kind of gave a tell when he said in the interviews, called him Rossi. So it showed familiarity to me, and I picked up on that. I will see if that's true or not, and maybe it's not really anything. And one thing I will say about the Cubs is, you know, and maybe it's the Chicago media is doing a better job partly, but I think they're confident. They picked a lot of good managers. They Francona was the manager that was picked by Theo and Jed, and obviously Madden overall did an excellent job with the Cubs, and maybe it's their confidence, but they're not hiding it. It seems either that or the Chicago media is better than the New York media and the San Francisco media and all the other media.
Well, that goes without saying, John.
You know, they've done a great job in terms of figuring out who's interviewed, when they've interviewed, seeing them at the interview, maybe even interviewing them after the interview. So it seems to be a little more of an open book. I think part of it is they're a little more confident, Theo and Jed, and don't think it has to be a state secret who's getting an interview and who's not getting an interview. I think it's a little silly, the teams that are keep treating it as a state secret, and, you know, not to mention the teams, but the Mets and the Padres, two of those teams.
Well, they have coffee shops in San Diego and New York, too. You just got to hit the right ones.
I don't know. Well, you know what? The Chicago interviews, it looked like to me the pictures were taken right outside the offices. The Mets are like, they're holding interviews somewhere, some secret spot. I don't know if they're going to the extent of going to Staten Island or out on Long Island or anything like that. I think they're in the city, but they're not allowing any stakeouts outside their office at 41 Seaver Way. So they really think it's a great idea to keep the secret. I don't know why, but they seem to for some odd reason.
Great stuff, John. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the playoffs.
All right, great talking to you guys. You too.
John Heyman, our Radio.com MLB insider, talking about the playoffs, talking about the Cubs managerial search.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.